Welcome to Living Single in Your City. This is a nightly show where we talk about everything from mild to wild in the life of those that are living single. We're always looking for hot topics, and we're also open to interviews with other people within the community that are living single and doing great big things. If you'd like to be interviewed on a show or be a possible guest in the near future, please contact us on our website at livingsingle.org or find us on Facebook at Living Single Across America or hit us up on Instagram at Living Single AA.
Hello, everyone. This is Alexis, and I'll be your host tonight for Living Single Across America. Tonight's topic is called The Importance of Health Insurance. You're probably wondering why I decided to talk about health insurance out of all topics. It's important to have health insurance, whether we agree or not. Because think about it this way. Health insurance is kind of like a safety net where it helps pay some of our medical bills should we need it. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people go, well, I'm not sick. I don't really make hospital visits. I don't really go see doctors. I don't take prescription medication. So why should I pay for something that I don't need? Well, the truth of the matter is, sooner or later, you're going to have to see a doctor. Sooner or later, you're going to wind up in the hospital. Nobody lives 100% health problem free. And what I mean by that is even if you have good genes, even if you are a healthy, fit person, you're still going to run into the occasional situation where you're going to need to see a healthcare professional. And that may be a general practitioner, that may be a mental health specialist, that may even be a specialty doctor. And these visits can really add up because the truth of the matter is healthcare in America is a business. It's not about compassion as we would love to believe because if every person who work in the healthcare industry, myself included, did it out of compassion and not to make money, everybody would be broke. Nobody would be able to pay their bills, et cetera, right? And unfortunately, that seems a little harsh to the people who are paying the bills, but it's still. You want something, you got to pay for it. And in a way, how I view it is, yes, I understand that while you might not be sick now, you may be sick later because the unexpected can happen. You can walk down the street and buy a car. You can walk down the street and a freak of nature situation happens and you wind up in the hospital. The average emergency room visit costs thousands of dollars. And what do I mean by thousands upon a thousand? It, on average, it costs thousands of dollars just to visit the ER. That does not include any tests they're going to run, any x-rays, etc. So depending when you go to the emergency room, depending what's wrong with you, they have to run a myriad of tests. So imagine if you go into a hospital, right, and you say, I have tests for you. So obviously they're going to do scans to test the condition of your heart. They're definitely going to do an ECG. They're going to do all sorts of tests. Well, each of those tests sometimes cost hundreds to thousands of dollars. So imagine if you're a person without health insurance. Yes, you can go into the hospital and say, they have testings. Of course, they're going to treat you, right? But after your treatment, even if you're recovering in a hospital room, if you don't have health insurance, they're going to send somebody from the billings department and say, how would you like to pay your bill? I don't know about you, but I don't have thousands upon thousands of dollars somewhere that I could just whip out and say, okay, what did you say my bill was? Oh, great. My bill is $200,000. Okay, I'll write you a check for $200,000. Right? Health insurance helps pay some of that, if not all, depending on what kind of coverage you have. Tonight, I just want to spend a little time talking about some of the coverage and what healthcare in the U.S. is really like. So, the U.S. health system is a mix of public and private, for-profit and nonprofit insurers and health care providers. The federal government provides funding for the National Medicare Program for adults age 65 and older and some people with disabilities, as well as for various programs for veterans and low-income people, including Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program. We'll revisit the Medicare versus Medicaid in a little bit. So, how does universal health coverage work? Unfortunately, the U.S. does not have universal health care that I believe some countries in Europe does and Canada does. But here in the U.S., no, it's a business and they run it as such. So about 92% of the population was estimated to have coverage in 2018, leaving 27.5 million people, or 8.5% of the population, uninsured. Right? That seems like a lot. So imagine those 27.5 million people falling ill and being unable to pay the bills. Right? That's harsh because think about it. You fall sick and sometimes if you can't work, then what happens to you then? If you can't pay your bills and stuff. So the Children's Health Insurance Fund was created in 1997 as a public state-administered program for children in low-income families that earn too much to qualify for Medicaid, but that are unlikely to be able to afford private insurance. Today, the program covers 9.6 million children. In some states, it operates as an extension of Medicaid. In other states, it's a separate program. While I think health insurance is really important for children. And the reason why I say that is so is this. Children tend to be more vulnerable than adults because as an adult, your immune system is fully developed, right? Unless you happen to have AIDS or some other health condition that can affect your immune system, is fully developed. Infants and children, not so much. Right? There's a reason why they encourage you to allow your small infants and such outside so they can start building their immune system, right? And children, believe it or not, some children, unfortunately, are born with rare diseases. Some children are born with defective hearts. Some children develop cancer. And while sad, without health insurance, that can be millions of dollars that you're going to have to pay out of pocket if your child is sick and they go to hospital. Because pediatrics is a whole specialty in healthcare. Your child cannot go see an oncologist for adults. They have to go to one that specializes in pediatrics. Just like a doctor who specializes for children is called a pediatrician, not a general practitioner. The same thing as nursing, which is something I know a little bit about, is you work primarily with children. You're called a pediatric nurse. The tools are smaller. It's definitely a unique specialty. And what I want to talk about next is the Affordable Care Act. Well, it was implemented during our last president, Barack Obama, and it was in 2010, and it required most Americans to obtain health insurance or pay a penalty. The penalty, of course, was later removed because it wanted to make health care accessible for everyone in America. And while I admit that that is great to hear, but in reality, I don't think it worked out the way everyone who was for it envisioned. Because not everybody has money to pay health insurance. And health insurance, if you want a good health insurance, you have to pay a premium for it. What do I mean for a premium? For example, Medicare or Medicaid is government funded, right? So the government pays for it. However, it does not pay every single visit, nor does it pay for every single drug that you might need. I know this to be fact because my grandmother was on it. And for some medication, the doctor had to find similar medication to work the same way for Medicare care or Medicaid to pay for it. And believe it or not, Medicaid and Medicare has a certain number of times you can visit a hospital, has a number of times that you can stay in a hospital depending on length of stay. This is true for all health insurance policies. Whether you pay for a premium one or you pay for a basic one, or even if your employer provides your health insurance, all health insurance companies are here to make money. Of course, they will cover you up to whatever it is that you have a contract with them for, but it's just about making money. And while this plan was hoping to make health care available to everyone, a lot of people just decided not to sign up for it and rather pay the penalty for it because a lot of people don't have an extra $500, $600 to pay premiums and such like that. So with that, I'm just going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Alexis with some trending news. Police in Vietnam said they found about 320,000 recycled used condoms that were being repackaged as new, local media reported on Thursday, according to the Associated Press. Market inspectors in Binh Dinh province raided a factory near Ho Chi Minh City where they discovered used condoms being repackaged to be sold at the market. An inspector said the factory's 34-year-old owner, a woman, confessed they purchased the condoms from someone else. The state-owned Thuy Thuy paper reported, according to the AP. After buying the condoms from a man, they were washed and reshaped and then packed in plastic bags, according to the newspaper. Back to the show.
Before the break, we were talking about the Affordable Care Act, right, or Obamacare. And this law had three primary goals. The first one was to make affordable health insurance available to more people. The law provides consumers with subsidies, premium tax credits that lower costs for households with incomes between 100% and 400% of the federal poverty level. Number two was to expand the Medicaid program to cover all adults with incomes below 138% of the federal poverty level. Not all states have expanded their Medicaid programs. And three was to support innovative medical care delivery methods designed to lower the cost of health care generally. Sidebar. I think health care should be available to everyone, and I think we should adopt universal, such as in some countries in Europe and in Canada, is it makes healthcare available to everyone, despite their income level, despite if they're poor, despite of race, gender, sexual orientation. The U.S., unfortunately, does not see it that way, but I think that if we adopted a universal healthcare program, it would be better for everyone in the long run. It might cost a little bit more. I understand that when you pay for every single person, there are limits and there are requirements and things like that. I understand that. But I think it's just sad that we live in a country where over 27 million people do not have access to health care just because they cannot afford to pay for insurance. And a lot of people avoid going to the doctor and avoid going to the ER because they don't want to end up with that big bill. And if they end up with that big bill, they spend years and years paying it off. And then, like, you know, the percentage rate goes in. If they can't pay their bill, if they fall behind, it affects their credit and it affects other areas in their life. And that's just sad to me. Moving on, I want to talk about Medicaid and what does it cover. Medicaid is a joint federal-state program that provides health care coverage for low-income people, primarily children, pregnant women, parents, the disabled, and the elderly. About 60 million people receive Medicaid benefits at some point during the year. Children account for about half of those enrolled, and about one quarter are elderly or disabled. Right? So, what is the current state of Medicaid? The recession has undermined the budgets of many states at the same time that millions more people who have been hard hit by job cuts are enrolling in Medicaid and Congress included $87 billion in the stimulus funding legislation to help states pay for Medicaid through 2010, but the aid was temporary and further cuts are expected in programs. And in the fiscal year, Medicaid spends an average about $4,575 per person, $1,708 per child, $10,691 for each elderly person enrolled, and $12,874 for each disabled person. Total spending in a fiscal year was reported to be $330 billion. Well, this program does help a lot of people, but of course, they have qualifications, whether you qualify or not, et cetera, et cetera. And that can be a whole other topic or another night where I can explain it more in depth. If that is something you guys would like to learn more about, let us know by reaching out to us and letting us know. Well, Medicare is the federal health insurance program for people who are 65 and older, certain younger people with disabilities, people with end-stage renal disease, permanent kidney failure requiring dialysis or transplant, sometimes called ES. What are the parts of Medicare? There are different parts of Medicare that help cover specific services. Medicare Part A is hospital insurance. It covers inpatient hospital stays, care in a skilled nursing facility, hospice care, and some home health care. For those who are wondering what home health care is, I actually know a lot about this because
I obtained a license to get. Home health is basically when you have someone who is not a nurse but is trained to help you out in your home. For example, if you were sick or you were coming home from a hospital recovering from a heart attack and stuff and you didn't have a family member and your insurance covered it, home health is you go out and you look for an agency. The agency sends somebody skilled. What that person is allowed to do is depending on the scope of their practice, depending on the state. And for me, myself, here in Virginia, I'm not allowed to give medication. That is something an RN does or a registered nurse. As a home health aide, I'm not even allowed to open the medication bottle and hand it to a patient. I, however, can remind my patient to take care. If a medication is left out by a family member, I can hand that to my patient to take. No, I cannot force a patient to take his or her meds. I can also help with activities of daily living. What does that include? That includes things like bathing, showering, brushing teeth, getting dressed, making beds. I definitely am qualified to make you a sandwich or lunch. No, I am not a gourmet chef. So expecting me to make a meal for a dinner party or your family tonight is not part of my job scope. I have done that before just because I'm a compassionate person and I love my patients. But like I said, depending on scope of practice, depending on the aid, depending what he or she is allowed to do, is depending on what state you live in. So Medicare Part B is the medical insurance. It covers certain doctor services. See how it says certain? Outpatient care, medical supplies, and preventive services. Medicare Part D is the prescription drug coverage. Helps cover the cost of prescription drugs, including many recommended shots or vaccines. Right? So how does Medicare work? With Medicare, you have two options in how you get your coverage. Once you enroll, you need to decide how you get your medical coverage. There are two main ways, the original Medicare or the Medicare Advantage, right? And I definitely can go more into detail if this is something that you would like to learn more about. Once again, just reach out. Let me know if it's something you would like more information about. So, what about all the other health insurance companies? Medicare and Medicaid are government funded, but all the other commercials that you see, such as Kaiser Permanente, such as Blue Cross Blue Shield, United Healthcare, all those companies, they're definitely not government funded. They are private insurers where you have to pay them to have them cover you. Or sometimes if you are fortunate enough to work for a company that does provide health care, they usually provide health care through one of the main insurers. And even if you do get health insurance, here's the thing. Some plans will require you to pay a copayment. And what do I mean by a copayment? For example, if your doctor's visit on average costs $100, then insurance might say, well, we only cover 80%, we are responsible for 20%, right? And that is actually pretty common because I myself had had health insurance where I had a copay. Sometimes it was $10 at one job, for another job it was $30. And in all honesty, I'm just going to be 100% honest, I'd rather pay the $30 than a couple hundred dollars per visit. Because, as we all know, sometimes one visit to the doctor is not enough to get rid of an illness. Because I myself have been to the doctor 3 times in one day.
Yes,
3 times. The first time was to pick up a prescription because I had called ahead, right? then in the afternoon, I really honestly wasn't feeling well, so my doctor tried to squeeze me in. And I was seen, I was giving meds, and later that night, I had to go to urgent care because I had a really bad reaction to one of the medications, and I broke out pretty badly. So imagine if I did not have health care, imagine how much I would be paying out of pocket, hundreds upon hundreds of dollars. So you're probably sitting there thinking, Alexis, I cannot believe that tonight's call is all about health insurance. The reason why I wanted to cover health insurance is because November is coming up. In November is when you can sign up for health insurance for the following year. So if you buy health insurance between November and December 15th, I want to say, you will be covered for 2021. And you're probably sitting there thinking, going, Alexis, why are you telling us if we can't afford it to go get some health insurance? COVID, people. COVID is not going anywhere. I already did a podcast on preparing for what lies ahead on this channel. And if you missed it, you should go back and check it out. COVID ain't going anywhere, people. It's only going to get worse in the wintertime. But guess what? What's the point? So what do you think happens in the winter when everybody's coughing and sneezing all over the place? People who have asthma, people who are going to get bronchitis, people who have the common cold or like influenza have died from COVID. And people have died from the flu because for some people, their immune system is severely compromised. And if you go to the hospital, think about your immune system being compromised and you're there and people with COVID are coming in and out. I'm not trying to be funny or scare you, but wouldn't you rather have health insurance to help protect you to pay for some of those costs instead of paying thousands of pounds or thousands of dollars out of your pocket? Because I know I, for one, do not have thousands upon thousands of dollars hidden somewhere that I can just whip out and just pay for each of my visits. But besides COVID, health insurance really is kind of like a safety net. Because I have heard so many horror stories where people pay premiums and then don't use it. But then they want to whine. Of course, everybody whines and complains when they have to pay a bill. But case in point, I once had a coworker who had a rather large family. And he always complained about the big tax he had to write to the health insurance. And knock on wood, his family was pretty healthy. Unfortunately to him, 3 months later, his family got into a really bad car accident where a lot of people in the car were severely injured to the point where there was surgery and stuff like that. So he said he was extremely grateful that he had health insurance to help cover everything. But his wife needed two surgeries and his two small children needed surgeries because their arms were broken and they had to get surgery to put pins in. So he said he can't imagine how much the bills would have cost if he did not health insurance. Right? It's kind of one of those things where we're going to think, no, we're not going to need it. No, I don't get sick, knock on wood. And you're like, nope, don't need it, right? Until the day that you need it, you have this massive bill, and you're going to sit there and wonder how you're going to pay for it. And with that, I'll be right back after this break.
Thank you so much for listening to Living Single in Your City, and we are super excited about every opportunity and every door that we open. We want you to get connected. Go to our website. Check out our store. We are releasing 3 new books very soon. One is called Cover. Living Life on the Download Has Been Exposed. The next book is called Single and Celibate. Find out more about that one. And last but definitely not least, Why Living Single and Why Now. You will find more information about our books and the discounted price for the next 30 days on our website at livingsingle.org. That's living, L-I-V-I-N, with no G, single.org. Thank you.
The last couple of minutes, I just wanted to review everything, especially for those who are just joining us. Obamacare was implemented in 2010. There was a penalty for those who did not get health insurance, but it was later removed. And Obamacare was thought to be one of the worst decisions ever. We're not here to talk about politics, and you are entitled to your own opinion. For me, I think the bill had the right mindset where everyone should have access to health care and stuff like that. But the way it was implemented or the way it came out definitely was not what people expected and or hoped for. Medicare and Medicaid are government-funded programs that offer health insurance, drugs, and drug prescription coverage and such for people who qualify. Those who qualify are depending on the requirements from state to state. And for that, you can reach out to the state to see what the requirements are and see if you qualify. Then there are the private health insurance companies. And by private, I just mean you pay or your job provides it and you have a copay. At the end of the day, health insurance companies are here to make money. Of course they are. We, unfortunately, do not live in a country that has universal health insurance, although I think the United States should have that. But that's just a matter of my opinion, right? Health insurance, as we all think about it, does come at a cost. Not everybody has hundreds of dollars to write away for a premium or to keep their health insurance on, right? And over 27 million people do not have any coverage. So how do people who don't have any coverage get health care? I will definitely do a topic on that. And for myself, I can give you a quick answer now. There are plenty of clinics out there who do a pay-scale payment. You pay what you can afford according to what you need. Or sometimes there are free clinics, but even those free clinics take a long time to get an appointment, right? Then, of course, you have places like MinuteClinic where you do pay at cost whatever it takes to get your appointment and your drugs. I have used MinuteClinic before. I think the most I paid was 100 something plus additional cost for a test, etc. We live in a world where we need healthcare providers. We definitely need health insurance to help offset some of those bills. Without health insurance, we're just going to be left with massive bills to pay on top of other bills that we're responsible for. There is no easy solution, and tonight was just to talk about the importance of health insurance and give you some information about what's available out there. Please reach out and let us know if it's something that you would like to hear more in depth about by reaching out at living, L-I-V-I, without the G, single.org. With that, I would like to wish everyone a good night. Hope you're having a happy weekend, and I will see you next time.
Hey, everyone. This is your girl, Hefe, with Living Single. I just want to say thank you all who are listening to our nightly show. We want to make sure you always stay connected with us by subscribing to our website. And when you do subscribe, you'll receive a free newsletter where you can find updates, tips, and all types of information regarding singles. Please visit our website at www.livingsingle.org.